You gotta love the things that kids say. You gotta love it. Well, happy Father's Day. It's good to be with you guys. Just a quick lay of the land. Let's just see what we got out in the audience. Raise your hand if you are currently a father right now. Raise your hand. All right. Nice little. Okay, how about this crowd? How about if you hope to be a father one day? All right, here we go. All right. We prayed for you guys last night, so it'll happen. All right. How many granddads do we have out in the audience today? Nice. I hear that is a blast. Y'all do a fun job of just spoiling our children and giving them all kinds of candy, so keep up the great work. You guys know the presence of a good and godly father in your life is just so, so important. Because if you didn't have it in your life, if you're in that group, you understand that there was something always just kind of missing, that you were kind of looking maybe just for something more. It's important to have a good and godly father. So it really is my honor. I love fatherhood. I love everything about it. So it is truly my honor to be an invest in you guys today. If you haven't noticed on Mother's Day is one of those days that it's kind of like, oh my gosh, you're doing so good. Here's some flowers. Oh my goodness, you guys are doing so awesome. And then Father's Day rolls around and it's kind of not like that, right? You know? So my hope today is really that we give just a message of encouragement, and not to tell you dads what you aren't, but really what you are, what you're called to be. Because I think, now this is just the way that I'm wired, but I think men in general are wired this way, is that we do a better job when we're affirmed. Put something in front of us, put a challenge in front of us, affirm us along the way, telling us we're doing a good job, correct us here, but we do a better job when we're affirmed. And so when we realize that God has called every single one of us men, you know, to a certain calling, we rise to that calling, we rise to that occasion, we love the challenge, and we rise to that challenge, right? And so that's really my hope today. Now, a quick update. You heard a phenomenal introduction from Pastor Eddie. Very generous. Quick update on Macy and I. Y'all know we struggled with some of having our twins. So give you a little update. Let you see how big they are. They got a couple pictures that we're going to show up on the screen. Here's my boys. That's us walking from church last week. You can notice on the right-hand side, I got my main man, Baylor, here. He is in a season where he wants to literally do anything and everything that I do. You know, so you can see we're dressed the same. We got that whole nine yards, partly due to his mama. I can't claim that one. But, like, I love the fact, you know, Macy's not a black coffee drinker or a coffee drinker at all. So I've really prayed. I said, Jesus, I need someone to enjoy some coffee with me. Baylor already loves black coffee. It's just amazing. Now, I dilute it down. I don't jack them up too much. But I love it. Here's another picture. Here's the twins. They're doing great. Got my main man right here, Lawton, on the left. Got Stetson on the right. We're in an extremely fun season with them. Their personality is just busting through the seams. I mean, it's just, I mean, oh, they're cute. I'm Swanee. They had a lot of work, but they are cute as can be. Now, I love them. All right, so before we really dive into the Word this morning, I want to have a little fun. Be all right to have a little fun with you guys? Yeah? I'm interactive, so if I ask you a question, I need some feedback. All right? Let's do this thing. Take a look at a short little video that we got here. Now, you guys know that moms and dads do stuff a little different, right? Take a look at this video to see how moms do one thing and how dads do it their way. Take a look. That's some good stuff. I can honestly say I have done a couple of those things. It is a very talented thing when you can get both of those bottles and it stays. It's a very proud moment as a dad when those bottles stay. It's awesome. As I was preparing for this message, I started thinking about just my childhood and how I was raised. And I got to thinking about some of the stuff that I did and how different things are today, right? We live in a different world. I'm going to ask a few questions. Just tell me if you remember some of this stuff, okay? Any of you guys remember driving to grandma's house or some kind of relative's house, and you remember falling asleep on the floorboard of the car? Anybody? Yeah? Right on. Okay, let's go back even another generation. Anybody remember falling asleep on the dashboard? They were big enough? Yeah? A couple of them? All right, pretty dangerous. Definitely getting in jail today for that. How about you guys? You guys remember playing in the woods. I was lucky enough to have some woods. Yeah, amen to that. We don't get much of that. Obviously not as safe as it was back in that day. Growing up, we had one rule with that, is that we just had to be home at 5:30, right? It wasn't a rule that we got in trouble with, no. But when you have four boys that are all my height, food goes pretty quick, right? So if you weren't home at 5:30, you weren't guaranteed food. And I got my brother in the house. I see him. He was a hungry boy. He ate a lot of food. And you, trust me, you wanted mama's cooking and not the peanut butter and jelly, all right? All right, how about this? Anybody remember, I love this memory, but how many of you guys remember sitting in the back of a pickup truck? Anybody? All right, on the main highway? All right, fantastic. Yeah, definitely me and jelly. My man's doing a big head shake. He did it a lot. All right, but we live in a different world, right? It's a different world out there. Everybody say different world. All right. How about we want to remove playground equipment because we don't want little Johnny to get hurt anymore. They're removing playground equipment from schools. How about this? This is a crazy one. Many schools are actually telling teachers to stop using a red pen. Why? Because they don't want to hurt his little feelings. Now, I'm going to tell you the only feelings I really hurt back in that day was the fact that my teacher had to use a red pen so much. You know, I don't think that's happening on my side. How about this? This was crazy. You may not remember this, but you give me a raise of hands if you do. Back when I played sports, you actually had to win to get a little thing called a trophy, right? Yeah? Amen. Amen. Now all you got to do is show up and be terrible, and hey, here you go, here's your trophy. Yay, good job. So the trophy generation is even growing even more. I was watching the news the other day, and it's just astounding, but they're actually taking away valedictorians in class. They're taking it away. It was on the news yesterday, and what they're basically saying is they don't want to discriminate against the other kids. Now, you know, they're taking away the whole thing of a challenge, and, you know, we'll see where that whole thing leads. But we live in a different world. How about this one? This one intrigued me. P.E. P.E. is slowly being removed from our school system, okay? But don't worry. They got another class. It's called Practical Living. It's great. So they're going to talk about healthiness. Talk about it. Instead of actually do it, we're just going to talk about it now. It's craziness. Love P.E. So what's happening nowadays, in my opinion, is that we really are protecting children from failing. Now, I'm not advocating, don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating the fact that, you know, it's okay to ride in the back of a pickup truck on the highway or anything, you know, but there's got to be a balance somewhere between riding in a car without a seatbelt and how nowadays we got to suit up our kids with a helmet, elbow pads, and knee pads just to go check the mailbox, you know? Somewhere in there is there's a balance. And what we're seeing actually is in teenagers and young adults is that they're actually really afraid to do many things that we consider normal, okay? Anxiety is on a rise like we've never seen in a generation before, right? In fact, I was reading an article a couple weeks ago, and it was saying this. It was saying teenagers are actually afraid to fill out job applications. They're seeing a decrease in the amount of job applications because they'd rather not risk it. They have a fear of failure, so it's easier just to not do it. How about driver's licenses? They're seeing an increase in the age at which driver's licenses are being, not because it's law, because simply they don't want to fail. They don't want to have to go back to their friends and say, hey, I didn't get it. They'd rather not risk it than go in there. And so this is, to me, where the gift of failure really is not being given. Because in the things that I failed a lot more in life than I really excelled, I say, in a lot of different situations. But because of that failure, because of those different life situations, that is what propelled me forward and how I learned. And so if they're always afraid to try stuff, then they're not going to succeed at what matters most. And then we got this whole happy kid deal. We just want our kids to be happy, happy, happy. You know, I'm willing to argue all day long that culture is basically saying, bow down at this altar of happiness. That at all costs, no matter what you have to do, make sure your kids are happy. Because after all, at the end of the day, right, happiness is the most important thing. It's what matters most. No, it is not what matters most. Because Jesus never said, be happy as I am happy. What did he say? No, he said, be holy as I am holy. So the goal should never be just happiness. The goal should be that we're pursuing Jesus. And the byproduct of pursuing Jesus is a life full of happiness, a life full of joy, a life full of contentment, a life full of purpose where these kids can realize what God has for them, what he has in store for them, and to come alive in that whole thing. And so what I really want to do is I want to bring just a good word of encouragement to the dads of all the different ministries that I'm involved with. I see so many dads pouring into the lives of their kids. And I see three simple things that we can do that really shows children what's important and what matters most. Now, I know some of you guys are thinking out there, okay, Dave, come on, please don't put anything else on my plate. Like, if you're anything like Macy and I, and somebody asks you to do something on like a Wednesday evening, dude, if we don't start on like a Monday morning, we're not gonna be there at that event. You know, it takes a lot to get rolling. I'm pretty sure my neighbors think we go to Myrtle Beach almost every other weekend or something. Because it takes a lot to saddle up everything. Hey, Macy, make sure you grab some bottles. Hey, did you grab extra diapers? Because we got some big boys, they've blown them things out. Make sure you grab some extra ones. Grab the diaper bag. Hey, do we need this stroller? Make sure you grab the double bob because, you know, the twins, we got to put them in that whole thing. Hey, put this in there. Hey, where's Stetson? Do we have Lawton? Do we need him? Can you leave him? No, let's bring him. You know, all this different stuff. And so I'm loading all this kind of stuff into a car, and I'm pretty sure he's thinking, hey, man, go have fun on your vacation. He don't know. I'm just going to Walmart. It's nuts. I'm telling you. Here's a fun question. How many of you guys out here do not have any kids right now? Raise your hand if you have no kids right now. Okay, here's a question for you. What do you do when you want to go somewhere? Oh, geez. Makes me sick. Like, you're just sitting at home thinking, I want to go somewhere. And you just... It takes me 3 hours just to go to Walmart. It's crazy. So I understand this thing can be just overwhelming sometimes. It really can be. You know, at the end of the week, if you say, Dave, man, I'm trying to get my kids fed, and if I can get them to basketball practice or cheerleading practice on time, that's pretty good. Like, if you throw in a bath once a week, man, that's an amazing week. You know what I'm saying? It's some good stuff. But today, I really, really want to make this thing as simple as possible that any follower of Jesus' dad can do. And that is, if we apply these simple things, that I firmly believe that our children will fall more in love with Jesus than we ever, ever thought possible. So today, what I want to do is I want to talk in terms of what do we expose our children to? Because after all, what we expose our children to helps determine what they will become. What we deem as important, what we put in their life, that says volumes to our kids. And what we expose them to will end up helping determine who they will become. Because we have to realize, right, we live in a fallen world that all by themselves, with nothing that we do, they're going to be influenced by all kinds of bad stuff. They're going to have all kind of bad influences of just everything that the world can kind of throw at them. We've all had that in our life. And so what we got to do as dads, as parents, we want to throw as much influence, right influences as we can and expose them as much as we possibly can. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says this. It says, walk with the wise and become what? Wise, absolutely. Associate with fools and get in trouble. And I believe that if we expose our children to the right things, that I firmly believe that God will create the right environment for them to become more passionate about Jesus. So I want to start off with a really powerful piece of scripture that really, really speaks to me. It comes out of Psalm 112. It's just a great little scripture, and it says, starts off by saying, praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord. They delight in obeying his commands, and their children will be successful everywhere. Where are they successful? Everywhere. Not just in one spot, not just at school, not just at home, but they're successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last how long? Forever. Not one day, not a month, not a year. But how amazing would it be that our kids, the things that they do, the things that they're known for, last forever? I mean, that's amazing stuff. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. And here's this next line, which I love, because if there's three things that we want our children to be known for, what great things to be known for right here. They're generous. They're known for their generosity. They're known for their compassion, and they're righteous. It continues on in verse 6, and it says, those who are righteous will be long remembered. You know, so many people, you go to the grave and leave nothing behind, leave no legacy behind. You know, they didn't impact the generation that they had the ability to impact. No. If this is your goal, those who are righteous will be long remembered. So how is it, dads, that we can give this next generation the things necessary to be successful everywhere? Let's take a look at it. Before we dive into that, what I'd like to do is we got to get a baseline of what makes a successful child, right? What is a definition of a successful child? There was three dads in the church here who were recently having a conversation, and one dad in particular, super high in the corporate world, and he got interested, and he started asking some of the other fellow coworkers. He said, "What, you know, if what do you determine to be a successful child? At the end of the day, when you're done raising your child, what makes them successful? And they started listing all this kind of stuff. You know, I want them to be super smart. I want them to have, you know, a great job. I want them to be super successful. I want them to have all kinds of money. I want them to have the best job. I want to have them a great house. And they listed all the typical stuff that you would think a worldly model of what a successful child is. Now, we've been recently, we're in a series called The Kingdom. And remember, Jesus came onto this earth to flip this whole thing. His thinking was different. It was not all about these rules and these regulations and all that kind of stuff. No, he came to flip the thing. And what was important was the relationship. It was the relationship. And so he then asked the other two dads, he says, so, you know, that are in it here in the church, he said, what is it, what would be your definition of a successful child? And they launched out and started to talk about all the things that makes them, you know, at the end of the day, what is that successful child? And they started listing things like, you know, I want them to be a Christ follower. I'd love to know that at the end of the day, they just love Jesus with all their heart. You know, I want them to find a spouse that has the same values. You know, if I can leave one day and I hear all the different stuff of the character that is instilled in my child, if that's all being passed down and that's what they're known for, man, I think I've done an amazing job. You can see the difference in what those two versions. And so I'd like to put a challenge out there of saying, I think a good definition of a successful child is that we raise Christ-centered, biblically anchored world changers. And our job as a dad is to unleash those potentials, is to unleash that ability to become a world changer. And so three simple things, if you're taking notes, this would be a great time to do so. I'm gonna just highlight three things that I see all across the church, that I see dads engaging in these type of things, and you can see the effects, you can see the amazing product that comes out in their children. So let's highlight three things that I see dads doing around here. First thing, super important, is we want to expose them to the joy of having a relationship with God. Expose them to the joy of having a relationship with God. Now, I'm not talking about religion. Religion is a super popular term right now. You hear it all over the radio and news and different social circles and all that kind of stuff. And I never understand this response back when somebody says to a question, he goes, oh, yeah, I'm super religious. Like, what is that? Like, what does that even mean? You know, I heard somebody say it this way, because religion, remember, Jesus came onto this earth to combat the religion of the day, to combat all the rules that happen in society. And so he came because this is a relationship that he was after, a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so he said it this way, is that rules or religion, you know, religion without a relationship leads to rebellion. Rules, religion without a relationship leads to rebellion. And so I'm not talking about religion, because religion is empty. I'm talking about a true, authentic relationship where, as dads, we have an authentic, real relationship where we bring everything back to them. How do we do this? One of the easiest ways that we can do this is we simply take advantage of every situation in our lives, everything that happens, every good thing in our life, and we give it back to Jesus and basically say to them, hey, look at how God has blessed us. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done in my life. You know, we're entering summer now, and the fact that we can say and have friends over, you know, they're grilling out in the backyard or we're having pizza. You know, thank you, Jesus, for just the ability to be able to have our friends over and to have pizza. What an honor. This is just amazing. Thank you for blessing us so much. The fact that we actually get to take a vacation this summer, isn't that awesome? Isn't it amazing? Thank you, Jesus, so much for how you're blessing our family. Isn't it amazing how the fact that you just bless us so much and that we want to be a blessing to other people, so we actually get to do that as a family. Thank you, Jesus, for all the things, all the different ways that you're blessing us, because every good thing comes from who? God. Every good thing comes from God. So anytime, dads, that anything good happens in your life, you simply just turn it back to them and just say, look how the Lord has blessed us. And there's a way that they get in around that and begin to pick up the importance in this relationship. Psalm 68:19 says it this way. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. How often does he load us with benefits? Daily. This isn't a once a month thing. This isn't a once a year thing. This isn't a once a paycheck kind of thing. He daily loads us with benefits. Look out for them, because he's ready to bless us in so many ways that we have no idea. Let's talk about a few ways just to make this relationship side of Jesus come about. You know, if I think about how I want my children to be in a relationship with God, I want to help them know God through his word, and I want them to experience his presence through prayer and through worship. So we got scripture. I want them to know the heart of God. When we read scripture, we get to see the heart of God. We get to see how, you know, what's important to him and how he wants us to conduct ourselves. And when we get in his presence through prayer and through worship, big things happen. You know, prayer should just be a really, really big part of our lives. In fact, let me tell you a quick story about Baylor. He is, he's learning this thing. And, you know, he's a handful. I love him. He's a fireball. He's two, almost three, and he is just loving life all out. And so we try to incorporate the normal things. You know, you do it at dinner time, you do it at lunch, you do it at breakfast, pray for a meal. If an ambulance comes by, we pray for whatever's going on there. So he's correlating all this kind of stuff. And then at nighttime, now granted, he probably takes advantage a little bit just to stay up for 10 more minutes. I'm okay with that if he's getting this principle, okay? But this is how his prayer goes. He always starts at every night like this. He goes, Lord, thank you for an awesome day. And then whatever, you know, we're doing, like Macy took him to the beach a couple days ago. He wants to pray about whatever that is. You know, so then he goes down, oh, Lord, thank you so much for the beach. It's just awesome. Thank you for the waves and the sand. And then we got to go through like literally every family member there is in the history of our family tree. You know, so we start going, thank you for grand-grand. Thank you for D-daddy and papa and nana. Oh, and Lord, thank you so much for Luke. Lord, we pray that he gets fast one day and stops getting beat by dada. And just, you know, he goes through all this line. Then we got to go through all the cousins. You know, thank you for Drake Lee. Oh, Lord, she had a boo-boo. Lord, can you make Drake Lee feel better? And then, you know, again, I told you, he's in monster truck season. So we got to go through all the monster. He knows every name of every monster truck. Lord, thank you so much for Gravedigger. And Lord, we thank you so much for Toro Loco. And we thank you for his big tires. I love his big tires. You know, so we have to go through all this kind of stuff. And what I love about it, even at his young age, he's starting to get the correlation, the importance of this relationship, that every good thing comes from our Heavenly Father, and we want to thank him for it, and it's important to this. We want to pray for people who aren't feeling good or whatever the big thing of our day is. And so let me just add this in there. I don't know what it is, you know, but when I first started my relationship, especially, you know, dating Macy and all this kind of stuff, prayer was one of those things that was kind of a big deal. I don't know why. I think there's a lot of illusion around it. But if you ever wanted to get really good at something, like if I wanted to get really good at basketball, what do? I watch Pistol Pete training videos. I watch Michael Jordan play basketball so I can get better. So if you ever had an inkling or a desire to get better at prayer, if that is, you know, in a term, but you just want to kick around in it, you want to see what it's all about, let me encourage you, come to prayer nights. We do them every single Saturday. And this is not something that's going to put you on the spot, but this is simply something where you can get around people. It's here for just an hour. It goes so fast, but it's a good place for you can learn and just see what's going on and get in his presence and really enhance this relationship, that side of your relationship with Jesus. Now, growing up, I also remember different seasons where I would visually see my dad read the Bible. It was important. I would visually see Pastor Mike get in the Word, and this was not just to prepare for a message, which he did a lot, but separately getting in the Word for the purpose of, I want to know God, I want to grow in God. And so what did this do inside of me? When the biggest two father figures in my life, this was important, what do you think happened inside of me? I wanted to start doing it. I wanted to make it important in my life. I wanted to see what was going on here, and so I began. I started slow. I started to understand. I started getting important and understanding this whole thing of, I want to understand who God is. I want to understand his heart. So I began to get in his Word. And the good thing is that this was never a rule in our house. My dad didn't say, hey, you have to read the Bible or you have to pray. And I don't want it to be a rule in our household. I don't ever want my boys to say, all right, I got to go read the Bible because dad's making me. No, I want them to do it because it's been modeled for them. Here's the deal. The next generation, if we don't have it, they're never going to get it. If it's not important to us, we're never going to pass down to our kids this kind of stuff. If it's not important to us, it's not going to go. And one thing I will tell you this generation is very good at is sniffing out a fake. They can sniff them out. If this is not a true, genuine, real relationship, they're going to sniff it out. They're going to tell it. I promise you. And it's important to go after this true, authentic relationship. And so, what I want for my children is I want them to truly see that I need God, that I rely on God, that he's my source, that he's my provider, that he comforts me when I had a tough day, that he convicts me when I'm doing something wrong or when I sin, but that he guides me, that he directs me, that he is involved in every aspect of my life, not because I have to, not because I'm a pastor, no, because I want to have a relationship with him, and I want to know who he is, because he saved me, okay? So dads, we can do this. This is something I'm seeing all over the campus, is that when we see and expose our children to a true relationship with Jesus, big things can happen. Number two, the second thing we got, is we want to expose them to the presence and power of God in the church. Now, this is something we can all do. Can I just say that you guys are extremely spoiled? You have an amazing church right here within driving distance to get your children to allow them to experience what all God is doing in the local church. In fact, just this past week, we actually technically had 331 kids registered for VBS. That is the biggest that I can remember in years. Y'all saw the highlight video of them having so much fun and being excited. 250 salvations. If that don't get you excited, I don't know what it is. 250 salvations of people who are going to start a relationship with Jesus because they are here. They get to see the fun nature of God. They get to see the exciting nature of God, and they get to see his presence and his power even at that young age. I don't know about you, but I wasn't raised in a church in my younger days of how exciting this place can be. The stuff that you saw in that video was some amazing stuff. Now, I was raised in a little bit more of a legalistic one where, you know, back in the day, braided belts. Anybody remember braided belts? Yeah. Braided belts, yeah. And the longer it was, the cooler you were. I was proud of my body. I had the thing hanging down by my kneecap. Man, it was good stuff. But I got in trouble for it. You know, it was more important to have the right belt on than it was to have fun to see who God was. So I love that we can expose our children to the fun nature of who God is. And I think it's just amazing that we can see and be a part of making this next generation absolutely world changers, ones that are biblically strong, ones that are Christ-centered and are known for their generosity, ones that are known for their kindness. I saw it all week long with these kids. They're wanting to help other kids. They're wanting to help the underdog. They're wanting to do all this kind of stuff. They want to be world changers. And the biggest thing that I love to see is they want to be known for reaching more people for the kingdom of God than any other generation. How do I know that? Because night two is our biggest night. 78 of those kids that came to VBS have never stepped foot on this campus. Never stepped foot on this campus. Why? Because they're going home. They're going to their summer camps. They're going to their friends. They're going back to their neighborhoods, and they're saying, hey, guys, this is fun stuff. Look what we're doing. We played this game. We did this. We had this person up on stage. They're doing crazy stuff. Come and check it out. 78 kids who have never touched or experienced God's presence came for the first time. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, some of those people made a decision. And I know, and I'm praying because I know what's going to happen, is those kids are going to go home, and what are they going to do? They're going to tell their parents about how fun this place was. They're going to go tell their parents of all the crazy stuff that they did. And over time, someone's going to end up coming to church here, and their whole church, their whole family is going to be changed because one kid made a decision to ask their friend to come with them. Some amazing stuff. They're experiencing the presence and the power of God in the local church. Absolutely. Give it up. Give it up. Now, here's a question that I don't ever remember asking in the history of my childhood. One question I never remember asking is, hey guys, hey dad, hey mom, hey parents, do you think we should go to church this weekend? I just never remember asking it. I think one of the most dangerous things that we can do ever to our children, one of the dangerous questions we can ask them is, do you want to go to church this weekend? Why? Because there's so many things in their life that are simply not optional. Do you ever wake up and say, hey kids, want to go to school today? Heck no. You know, hey kids, you want to go to your soccer game today? Nah, all right, we can just let your team down, it's cool. Hey, do you want to go to dance today or not? No, we don't ever say that because that class is way too expensive. So you better get your butt in there and you better dance. You better give me a scholarship in Jesus' name. Come on, go in there and dance. Give me something. No, we don't do that. Let me say it a different way. If we overrule church for other things, but never overrule other things for church, we're sending a message to our kids. Well, it's a beautiful weekend. We'll just stay home. Let's go have fun. Well, you know what? We were up last night, really, really late. It was a good football game. It went into overtime. I'm exhausted. Don't tell me about being exhausted. I got 2 hours, all right? So get your butt to church. You know, no, it's all these different excuses that we make to not come to church. If we overrule church for other things, but never overrule other things for church, we're sending a message to our kids of what's important. Remember, if we don't make it important, it's never gonna get passed down to our next generation, all right? Let me just say one more word about that, if I can just speak directly to you. As parents, I think we gotta own this. I think we gotta own it, and we just gotta say, hey, listen here, we're going to church. We're going to church. We're gonna do this thing. This is who we are. We're going to cathedral this weekend. We gotta serve this weekend. We gotta bring our offering this weekend. If we're not here, church is gonna be incomplete without us. Pastor Mike has been in the Word all week long, and I know he's got a word for our family. He's got a word for me personally, and I don't wanna miss it. I don't wanna miss a word of worship. I'm actually gonna show up and be on the front row. I don't wanna miss a thing. As our family, this is an important thing. We're gonna make a decision, not because we have to, because we want to, because this is an important thing that we want our kids to get. We want to get in the presence of God. We want them to touch it. We want them to feel what God does, because in his presence, you guys all know this. This is important to you guys. Y'all have felt this. What happens when we get in the presence of God? Big things happen. Addictions are dropped. Relationships are mended. Hopelessness is found. You're dropping it and finding hope in Jesus. So we want them at an early age to see that this is important and that they can experience the very same thing. You know, church changed my world, and I loved it. I didn't want to miss a thing. All my friends, it was my world. I loved that, and I think I got so much out of that, and I see so many kids. In this next point, we're going to brag on just a few of them, because when you're in and around it so much, some amazing things get dropped into your kids' lives, because remember, all those kind of bad influences, the more they can get around good influences, the better, right? Amen? All right, last one here we got. Expose them to the thrill and excitement of being used by God. Suddenly, when you see a 4-year-old, when you see a 10-year-old, when you see a 16-year-old recognize the fact that God just used them to make a difference, guys, let me tell you, this is completely and totally a game changer. When your children experience this for the first time, it changes their world like they've never been changed before. They want to know that they have purpose. And actually, here at Cathedral, this is a very important thing to us. In fact, we start at the age of 10 and 11. If you haven't heard of our Ignite program, we take 5th and 6th graders. Well, we begin to teach them how to start serving in ministry, how to become a leader. Why? Because we want to make them and produce them to be world changers that they are. Because we want to let them know that they themselves can go get other kids and show them the love of Jesus and change their lives like they never thought possible. And when this happens over and over and over again in our children's lives, I'm telling you, it transforms them. They'll never be the same. When they realize that they have a purpose, it's just amazing to see that come alive in them. So I want to take just a second just to brag a little bit on our children right now. I got a couple pictures to let you see a little bit of what's going on around our campus. We got our first one, my man Jack here, all right? Jack Murphy. He has been here for roughly 10 years. Been serving in Sea Kids. His dad, you've probably seen him up here as a bass guitarist, but he's seen his dad serve over and over again, seeing that he has a certain set of gifts and talents. So what does he do? He's seen his dad do it over and over again. I want to be a part. I want to be a part of this whole thing. What can I do? What are my gifts? So he starts kicking around, figuring out, hey, I'm pretty good with this tech stuff. I can do it. Hey, I love kids. I'll do it up there. So I start doing it there. Then he realizes, hey, we do a lot of videos. I'd like to do that. He does an internship with Chris Profader, who is our video guy. He begins to do it. All of the videos that you've seen this weekend are affected by him. Many of the videos that you guys see, all the different things that we play into our services are done by this kid right here. At that young of an age, he understands, hey, I got some gifts and talents. I want to make a difference. I want to plug my talents into this place and make a difference in the lives, because God has called me to something greater. How about my man, Jake? We got Jake up here. Who we got next? Jake. All right. Here we go. He's also involved with the tech at Sea Kids. His family moved here 7 years ago. His dad is actually up in this room right over here doing all of our live. When y'all watch it on live stream, if you're home or doing whatever, that's his dad. And he's literally doing it every single week. And his dad is so faithful. So over time, he can't help himself but bug his dad. So he bugged his dad. So finally, his dad got tired of him bugging and said, all right, let's go figure out what you can do. So he has been involved in Sea Kids ever since. Super, super faithful. This is what Savannah, our Sea Kids director, says about him. Says he's always willing to learn, help out in any area. It doesn't matter what's going on. He just wants to know that he can help and fill in any hole. And he just has such a heart for those kids already at this young age and realizing, hey, I can make a difference. I can do this. Let's do it. Who we got next? My man, Jay Rye. Jay Rye's in the house. Some of you guys know him. I think I saw his parents earlier in the house. And now this one, let me speak directly to him. We have tried to get this kid to stop. Like, take a break. Like, in 10 years, I'm pretty sure he hasn't missed a weekend. Like, he just loves this place. He sees he's got so many. He's got everything from taking care of your one-year-old and having a blast and doing better than almost anybody here on this campus, all the way up to teens and saying, hey, I don't understand what my teenage years were like. I want to make a difference in their life. The teenagers love him. All the way to tech. He's up here playing music. You see him in music. You see him in guest services. He just has a heart for this place and just says, you know what? I want to make a difference in the people who God has called to this place. Now, the unique thing about Jeffrey, he does not have a dad that's involved in his life. So you may be sitting out there and saying, I hear all this, but what am I going to do? What do I do if I don't have a dad in my life? The good thing of what his mom did and what his grandparents did is realize, hey, if I plug him into this place, if I get him under the presence of God, if I understand and let him realize the importance of a relationship with God, and through that, there's been so many guys along the way who have got under him and said, you know what, I'll help with you. I'll be a father figure to you. He's got so many father figures in this place, it's ridiculous. And to see what he's doing nowadays is just amazing. I can't wait to see what all God does with him because the sky is the limit with this kid. He's absolutely amazing. Absolutely. All right, who we got next? All right, this is my girl, Maddie. Maddie has recently recovered from a spinal surgery where they fused her spine. But I love this girl. You would never suspect it from her. She's kind of an under-the-radar kind of a gal. But I can guarantee you, I can mash up anybody here in this worship center, and I can guarantee you that she's invited more people to church than any one of us combined. She had a purpose of, hey, when we did the Easter invites and all this kind of stuff, hey, I want to do it. I want to hit as many houses as I can. I want to get outside these walls because here's what I know. Here's what she knows, is that if she can get out there and hit these houses and hit these people and hit these different places and invite them to church, if they get in the presence of God, their lives will be forever changed. They can be changed. These kids are world changers. One more picture for you. We got the junior volunteers. We got that picture of VBS? See if they have it. They might bring it up. But we had, if they show the picture, y'all remember the picture of all the volunteers, right? Here we go. Those are just junior volunteers. That's just junior volunteers, not adults. They are invested into the lives of the next generation. This is not a generation of kids for tomorrow. This is not a church of tomorrow. This is a generation of kids who are the church of today. They're making a huge, incredible difference in the lives of the people. And dads, we get the amazing calling of bringing this out in our children. It's an amazing thing to be a part of, that we just don't raise happy kids. We just don't raise successful kids, and we're going to do that. That is a byproduct for sure. It's super important. I fully expect Baylor and my other boys to be very successful. No, we don't just we raise biblically anchored, Christ-centered world changers, and we unleash them into a society that needs it so desperately. Amen? All right, here we go. Last thing is we can do this. We really can. If we really show them the importance of having a relationship, a true relationship with Jesus, if we expose them to the presence and power of God in his local church, and if we expose them to the thrill of being used by God, then suddenly the seed that is planted in good soil begins to grow. You can watch it happen, and they become successful everywhere. Everywhere. They're known for it. So dads, let me tell you something. Don't ever let anybody tell you you can't. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you won't be. I don't care if you feel like it's too late, because I feel like I've learned more from my dad in this last season of life than I ever did in the first 30 years. It is still a miracle that my parents had dinner on the table at 5:30 every night. I don't know how they did it. I mean, I'm lucky if I get it on the table by 9 o'clock. You know, so I'm learning. It is never too late to make the impact. Don't let anybody ever say that you can't or that you won't. All right? All right. If you want to have your kids see God in their father, first let them see a father in God. Make it important. Make it a value in your life. What I'd like to end today is the programming team showed me a music video that I just thought was, well, at the end of the day, it was just a cute video. But I think we undervalue so much as dads, sometimes we get lost in the fact of how much our kids really look to us, really love us, and really want to emulate us in any way possible. So take a look to see what happens when